This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Eric Stanley with us on the program. Eric serves as Senior Legal Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, at its Kansas City Regional Service Center, where he heads the Alliance Defending Freedom Church Project. He has filed, briefed, and argued numerous trial and appellate cases on constitutional issues throughout the United States. Eric is with us to talk about a new must-have resource for churches, Christian schools, and other ministries that ADF has produced entitled Protecting Your Ministry. The 44-page legal manual includes checklists to guide Christian institutions through a process of protecting their religious liberties. We'll be talking about this new resource, why it is a vital item for churches, and where you can go to obtain a free copy. Eric, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Eric, and we so much appreciate our partnership with ADF. We're very grateful for all your great work and for your willingness to take time out of what I know is a very busy schedule to be with us today. Now, Eric, tell us about ADF's Protecting Your Ministry legal manual and how it came about.
Well, sure. Yeah, this is really a legal manual, as you said, that it is meant to lead churches and Christian organizations and Christian schools through a series of steps to protect themselves, to be proactive, to take some steps now that could be helpful for them to protect themselves from potential discrimination lawsuits. One of the things that we've seen over the years is a rise in the number of lawsuits related to what we call sexual orientation and gender identity non-discrimination ordinances. And those apply in areas of employment, and in housing and in places of public accommodation. And that's been an area that we've been focused on in the past, but we see a potential for that area to really expand and that there will potentially be more litigation that would come down the road, especially considering the Supreme Court's anticipated decision on marriage and what would happen there, that everywhere that marriage has been redefined, we have seen a rise in the number of discrimination complaints against people of faith, and we anticipate that that might happen even more frequently in the future. So the idea for the manual was to lead these organizations through a series of steps, to be proactive, to take some steps now, so that if there is a legal issue that arises in the future, they are the most prepared that they can be to have to handle that.
Well, that's great. And I know that we at the North Carolina Family Policy Council are receiving a growing number of calls from churches and other Christian ministries and organizations across the state wondering what they can do in light of the current environment, especially as it does relate to marriage. These folks are very concerned about what they can do to ensure that they are protected as much as possible from the threat of lawsuits, other legal action, or just claims of discrimination and that sort of thing. So this is a very timely and important resource for folks who have those concerns. Now, Eric, I know the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention has partnered with ADF on developing this resource. Is it just for Southern Baptist churches, or can it be used by other denominations and faith groups?
No, it's not just for Southern Baptist churches. In fact, it's for every church or religious organization of any denominational orientation or a faith perspective. So we really want to get it into the hands of as many churches and Christian schools and religious organizations as possible. So the partnership with ERLC is a way of getting it out into the Southern Baptist churches, but this is not limited to that. And in fact, the statements that you'll see in there in the manual about marriage and the sample kind of language that we have in the policy on all the different issues are really written just from a generically evangelical perspective. And so that's something that I think could be helpful for really any church.
Well, that's great. And I want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of this. And we'll talk a little bit later in the program about how they can get their own copy and direct that to their pastors or utilize it themselves if they're involved in a ministry. But it is important for folks to understand that it does have broad application for evangelical churches and ministries, regardless of denomination. Now, earlier, Eric, I described the Protecting Your Ministry Manual as a must-have, and it really is a must-have for churches and other ministries, including Christian schools. Why is this a resource that every ministry should not only have, but put to use?
Well, one of the things that we've seen, and I think the marriage decision from the Supreme Court is probably the biggest example of this, is there is a rise in the conflict between the conflict between religious freedom and sexual license. And we've seen this develop over the years where with the application and the kind of creation of these non-discrimination ordinances that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. We've seen this in a number of different contexts over the years with, and even recently with the florists and the cake makers, the t-shirt printers, and even some others, in the professional realm, Christian counselors and attorneys and others who really the right to live out our faith is something that is being endangered by the sexual revolution and its most recent aspect. And so this battle has confronted churches, religious organizations, Christian schools, and it will continue to confront them in the future. And so really now is the time to take the proactive steps that are necessary to make sure that your faith is very strictly defined, very clearly defined, I should say, and that all of your policies dealing with these issues are in place, so that if there's a legal issue that arises, you are most protected. It may not forestall a lawsuit. We can't stop people from suing, but it may help your church or your Christian school or your Christian ministry to get out of a lawsuit faster if you've got your policies and documents in order.
Now, Eric, let's talk about some of the things included in the manual. I mentioned the checklists, and I know that one of the things that ADF recommends is for churches and ministries to update their professions of faith with a statement on gender, sexuality, and marriage. Explain this for us and why these three terms in particular are so important to include and to define in these documents.
Well, yeah, that's certainly something that a lot of Christian ministries and churches and even Christian schools have statements of faith. What we are recommending is that those be updated and that you include in there a very clear statement of what the religious organization or your church's beliefs are on marriage and then on human sexuality and gender. And the purpose of that is just to make it abundantly clear what those beliefs are. One of the principles, the legal principles that has really protected churches and religious ministries throughout the years is that a court will not second guess what a religious organization's religious beliefs are. And so instead of leaving that up to guessing or having to prove that through testimony at trial or something along those lines, we know that these issues are going to arise, especially in relation to marriage and human sexuality and gender. And so make that statement of faith, make that very clear. Marriage and human sexuality, people usually get a statement about, hey, marriage is only between one man and one woman. Any form of sexuality outside of marriage is prohibited, and that's what our organization believes. The gender issue is a little bit something that a lot of organizations don't deal with, but we have seen a rise in the so-called transgender issue. The Bruce Jenner situation is a situation, and that's been in the news recently, that I think highlights just how that issue is coming to the forefront. And so a lot of religious organizations need to take this opportunity and define what are we going to do and how do we define what our religious beliefs are on the transgender issue to make that very clear in case you have an employee that all of a sudden decides that they need to present as the opposite sex. You have a request from an individual who comes to your church to use the opposite sex bathroom. You need to take that opportunity to have your religious beliefs very clearly spelled out so that you, then you can act on them, and if they're ever questioned, the court will not second-guess those.
Well, Eric, I know that another important policy that ADF recommends has to do with specifying the kinds of weddings in which a pastor or pastors of a church will participate, as well as the kinds of weddings that will be allowed to take place in those church buildings. What should the wedding policy include, and more importantly, how will it protect churches against potential future lawsuits or attacks?
Well, really, the two major questions that we get from churches is, will I as a pastor be forced to officiate a same-sex wedding ceremony? And then will my church be forced open to be used for a same-sex wedding ceremony? And the answer to both of those is that we want to go to the mat to protect the rights of pastors not to be forced to do anything inconsistent with their faith, but also to protect the right of church facilities not to be used in ways that are inconsistent with your faith. There has been a move from some church facilities type of people who would say, well, just limit use of your facility to your members only. I see that it really is a way, a retreat, so to speak, from the church. The church used to be the center of community. Churches struggle to continue to reach out to the community and have that to be some place that the community feels safe and welcome. And I think that churches should not feel compelled to retreat. We have a sample facilities usage policy in our Protecting Your Ministry manual. And that is something that all it says really is, we have a statement of faith. If you are going to be using our facility, you agree to that statement of faith that you will not do anything that's inconsistent with that. And that we will only allow uses of our facility that are consistent with our religious beliefs. That's important to define in the beginning of the relationship of the user of the facility, to have them sign an agreement with that. And that enables churches to continue to throw open their doors to the community and not have to retreat within the four walls of the church. So I think the short answer is it's a remote possibility right now in the near term that pastors will be forced to officiate, but we want pastors to know that we'll be willing to protect them no matter what with that. But we do want to encourage churches, take this time to update your facilities use policy and make sure that is in order. So in advance of that issue.
Now, does the facilities use policy that you're talking about just apply to weddings, or does it apply to other activities that may potentially take place within that church facility or the facility that is owned and operated by a religious institution?
Yeah, it would take place with, it would be a generic policy that would apply to any use of that. Because what we want to do is make sure that churches and religious organizations that have facilities are being consistent in how they use those facilities and how they allow the general public or the community to use those facilities. So the way to be consistent with that is to say, we will only allow uses that are consistent with our statement of faith, and we will not allow any uses that go against or are inconsistent with that statement of faith. Yeah. And that's the way to kind of have that consistency in the use of your facilities, and that sets up the best possible defense should someone say, no, your church should be a place of public accommodation and you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, then we can argue, no, the church facility, the religious organization's facility, is part and parcel of how this religious organization or church lives out its faith in the community, and it should not be forced to violate its faith through allowing uses that are inconsistent with those religious beliefs. So this really sets it up in the best possible way for a defense.
Well, Eric, unfortunately, we are out of time for this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to access this incredible resource from Alliance Defending Freedom, Protecting Your Ministry.
Absolutely. It's very easy. You can go to alliancedefendingfreedom.org/church. So it's alliancedefendingfreedom.org/church. All you have to do is put in your name and your email address there, and you can download the manual for free. Or you can request that a printed copy would be sent to you. So alliancedefendingfreedom.org/church.
Great. Well, Eric Stanley, thank you so much for your work at Alliance Defending Freedom and for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today about the Protecting Your Ministry legal manual. It's been a pleasure having you on Family Policy Matters, and we wish you the best and pray that God will bless you and the continued work of ADF.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and hey, we look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.